Last night was the first time I saw that. It's pretty funny. You know, several years ago, my wife and I, we lived in Kansas City, and we lived there for 2 years. When I was there, I actually was going to seminary, working on ministry, master's degree and stuff. And then when I was there, also, I worked at a bank for 2 years as a teller. And when you're in Kansas City, besides barbecue, because Kansas City is about barbecue, besides that, it's all about the Chiefs and the Royals. You know, especially then, too, and just like now, the Chiefs were really good, and it was hard to get tickets, and I had an opportunity to go to a few games there, and, you know, the Royals, the tickets were easier to come by, and we would go to some of those games, and sometimes on a Friday night, if you've ever been near these two stadiums right beside each other, there's an interstate that goes right by there, Interstate 70, and across the highway there, across the interstate, there's a Dairy Queen that sits up on the hill, and sometimes just for a cheap date, my wife and I, like on a Friday night, would go up there, we would sit, listen to the radio, to the game, you could see down into the stadium, and then right after the game, they'd shoot off fireworks. It would just be a great, cheap date night. But it was lots and lots of fun. But I worked there for 2 years. A lot of my coworkers, they were not Christ followers, but we developed a really good friendship. And at the end of that 2 years, knowing that I was going to go back to Ohio, and they knew this, they said, "We want to throw a going away party for you." And you know, it's like, okay, I guess. And so they're talking about this going away party. And at this particular day, it just so happened that one of the customers, the clients that we had, he owned a business. And he was there. He was making a deposit. He usually wouldn't do that. He would have one of his employees do it. But on this day, he was there. And he overhears us talking about throwing a party. And he's like, "I want you to come to my place." It's Nisi's Lounge. And he says, "I want you to come to my place. I want to throw you a party." Well, Nisi's Lounge, as you know, right there, it just tells you it's a bar. It's not so great a part of town, and I'm a little bit out of my comfort zone. But you know, that's what they wanted to do. The guy invited us, and so we picked a night, and we ended up at Nisi's Lounge. So we're there eating. It was a very dark atmosphere, a lot of drinking, a lot of loud music, and they even had a DJ. And it was in the midst of the dinner that all of a sudden, the lights went completely out, and there was a spotlight that went right on my table. In fact, it went right on me. And all of a sudden, the DJ said, "Ladies and gentlemen, would you please give your attention to the man at the table in the spotlight? This is a great day. This is a day of celebration." And all of a sudden, I'm going, "It's not a day to celebrate. I'm leaving. I'm moving. What's going on here?" And he said, "This is a day to celebrate. It's his birthday." And I'm like, "What?" And of course, my coworkers, they're laughing. And they're like, "We want everybody to get up. We want everybody to go and say happy birthday to the guy in the spotlight." And all of a sudden, everybody all around, you know, they're coming around. In fact, we got a picture right here. This is me right about there. I'm kind of in the back. And, you know, this is a place where even athletes would come. And right next to me was a Chiefs player and a Packers player. You know, I'm right in the center. They're coming up, and they're, like, wishing me happy birthday. And I'm like, "It's not my birthday," you know. And so there was just these assumptions that were made that just weren't quite true. And, you know, as we've been talking about new beginnings, we've been talking this month really about how sometimes we make assumptions about God that may not be completely true. Sometimes we get upset with God. Sometimes we get angry with God because our perception is maybe that he's not doing what we think he should be doing, or that he doesn't care, or maybe that he doesn't hear us. And we evaluate God based on the things going on around us. And what if our perception, though, is wrong? And so as we started out this year and talking about new beginnings, we talk about new beginnings because sometimes we need new beginnings. Sometimes we want new starts with our lives. We want a reset, a do-over. Sometimes we just need kind of a reset, a do-over when it comes to our relationship with God and understanding who he is. And so this month, we've been talking a lot about who God is. We've talked about how, first of all, there, if you're looking at your outline there, it says new beginnings happen with an understanding of who God is, if you want to fill in the blank. And we've been talking about this month that God, first of all, he is Jehovah Shammah, that he is always present, that the Lord is always with you. And if we would just begin to grasp that, if we would just begin to understand that, that can help us understand that God is maybe more than what we think he is. We've been talking about how God is Jehovah Rohi, that he is our shepherd, that he guides, he directs, he protects. Yeah, sometimes he corrects. That God is Jehovah Jireh, that he's our provider. Last week, Tom talked about how he knows just what we need. He provides just what we need. In fact, he even provides us with a mission. He even provides us with the very family that we need. And this month, we've even talked about how God, he is a loving father. That he is Abba. He's Abba, a loving father. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, we said that if you look at this scripture, it says, see how great a love the Father has on us, that we would be called children of God. And on your outline there, this is something I did 2 weeks ago when I spoke. I asked you to write down a sentence at the end of the sermon. And I said that some of us, we would struggle with this. And if you want to write it down again, there's some blanks there. It's this sentence right here. It's that I have a loving father. And some of us, we have trouble even writing that down. And that's because our need for father runs deep. Our need for God as father runs deep, especially in our culture today. And out of all the words that God could have used to describe himself, all the words that he could have said, this is what you should call me. He could have said king. He could have said ruler. He could have said Lord. He could have said, call me creator, because that's who he is. But he said, call me father. And Jesus came and Jesus said, call him Abba. Call him father. And you and I, we need a good father. Because we've been wounded. We've been hurt. No one makes it through this life without being wounded. And one of the hardest things for us to believe down deep inside our hearts, so that it changes us, is this idea that we have a loving Father in God. There was a quote that I read to you a couple weeks ago from this book, Fathered by God, that says this: you are the child, you're the son, the daughter of a kind, strong, and engaged father. A father wise enough to guide you in the way, generous enough to provide you for your journey, offering to walk with you every step. And this is perhaps the hardest thing for us to believe, to really believe down deep in our hearts, so that it changes us forever, so that it changes the way we approach each day. You see, new beginnings, they can happen. And they can happen when you begin to understand that God is this loving Father who is always with you, Jehovah Shammah, that he is your shepherd, Jehovah Rohi. He's always there to protect you, to guide you, to direct you, to sometimes correct you. That he is Jehovah Jireh. He is the God who is there for you and provides for you. Provides you with a mission, provides you with family. He is your Abba. He is a loving father. And new beginnings can happen when we begin to understand who God is. And over the past couple of weeks, I've received emails. I've had some very personal conversations with people about just about their personal need, really, to receive God as Father. People who've shared with me wounds they've received. Heartbreaking stories about wounds that others have received. And you see, sin has caused great damage. You can't go through life again without being wounded. And Satan, he cannot get to God. He has no power over God, but he can get to you. And I believe he often tries to get at God by getting at us. And he's done this from the very beginning. And so he inflicts wounds, he inflicts damages, he damages people around us who then inflict wounds to us sometimes. And then we doubt God. We don't believe he's that caring. And all of these things are things that God never intended. And so today, as we wrap up this series on new beginnings, again, new beginnings happen with an understanding, first of all, of who God is. Who God is. But we also need to know that new beginnings, they happen with an understanding of who you are. Write that down. We got to grasp this. New beginnings happen with an understanding of who you are. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, it says this, that even before God made the world, that God loved you, that God chose you in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. I want you to write this down. Write this down. God chose you. God chose you. Now, some of us, I think, well, we've kind of heard that before, and I'm hoping that maybe we'll have a new perspective on that today. But we need to understand that God chose you, that you have a loving Father who loves you and chose you before he even made the world. Before the creation of the world. Did you see that? Even before God made the world, he loved you and he chose you. It goes on to say that God decided in advance to adopt you into his family by bringing you to himself through Jesus Christ. And this is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. I believe that we often look at our current situation. We look at our current wounds, the wounds that we received, and we think of God as choosing us as a backup plan. We think that, well, things went wrong, sin happened, damage has happened, and so God decided to step in as kind of a backup plan and provide a way through Jesus Christ for him to be our Father. And it's completely inaccurate. It's not a backup plan. God chose you. Before he created the world, he chose you. This was not a backup plan. And if we could just begin to understand that God chose us, that it's not like you're in gym class. Remember this? You remember in gym class and you're hoping that people are choosing teams and you're hoping, like, I hope they pick me, right? I hope they choose me. No, God chose you. He chose you. He chose you before he even created the world. And I believe that it was God's hope that our earthly father would have been a way for us to understand God as Father. And in some cases, that's true. But so often, that's been stripped away. So often, it's been stripped away because of sin. But all along, God's intention was to be your father. All along. There was a story that I heard one time by a guy that I know. His name's Morgan. And he talked about how he was going through a very difficult time. He had a preschooler, and his preschooler and his wife, and then his wife was just going through depression, and it got so bad that the doctor said, you know, you needed to make sure you even take the knives out of your house. It's just a really dark time, Morgan was talking about, and so bad that eventually his wife had to go live with her parents, and he didn't know what he was going to do with that. You know, he's trying to raise a kid, and feels like his world's falling apart. And he shared with me, he shared this story about how, you know, I actually went to Walmart had been shopping and was going out, and he just, in the midst of this parking lot, his preschooler in the vehicle, he collapses in this Walmart parking lot, and he didn't know how he was going to go on. He somehow gained enough strength, he got up, and they went home, and that night he was with his preschooler, and they were just going to have a little camp out in his family room, and they were laying on the ground looking up and having this little camp out, and his child says, "Hey, Daddy, I'm so glad we're brothers." Now, Morgan said, "What in the world? We're not brothers, you know?" And then he felt like God said, go with this. And so he asked his child, he said, "What do you mean we're brothers?" And his child said, "Daddy," it's like theology from a preschooler, right? He said, "Daddy, we have the same father. We have the same father." When I heard Morgan tell that story, that perception, it's changed my life. That if we would understand that we have the same father, it's amazing to think about this because, you know, I'm not perfect. I mess up. I want my kids to know this because there are times when I have to ask my kids to forgive me. There are times when I don't know what to do. There are times when I don't have it all together. And I want my kids to know we have the same father, that you and I, we have the same father, that all of us here, we have the same loving father. This can change who you are. It can give you a new beginning if you grasp this. That you are chosen by God. You should write that down. I am chosen by God. That before he made the world, God loved you. And he chose you in Christ. And this was not a backup plan. He chose you. He loves you. And this brings him great joy. That means no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter your current circumstance, God chose you. You're chosen by God. There's nothing you can do to earn his love. He loves you. He chose you. And it's powerful to realize that. It can change your entire outlook. That's why we read for you in Galatians here, you are all children of God through what? Through faith. Let's say that again. Through faith. And Jesus Christ. You become children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. If you want to write down that in the fill in the blanks, we become children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. That before God made the world, he chose you and he provided the very family you need. This isn't a backup plan. In fact, in Romans chapter 8, we read this. You've not received a spirit that makes you a fearful slave. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. And now we call him Abba. We call him Father. I read a story just this past week. I was reading a story, and it was about a guy who was sharing that as a boy, his father would often leave for work before he was even awake. And his father would come home from work, and they would share a meal together. And this meal was very efficient. It was like really fast and done. And then his dad would head off to the room, shut the door, and work late into the night. Happened pretty much every day. And this guy shared about how as a boy, he would sit outside that door longing for his father. That he would actually write notes. And he would slip notes underneath that door, hoping that his father might just one time return a note. But it never happened. It's a heartbreaking story. But just as sad, I think, is that for many people, that's the way we view God. They're hoping that God maybe will hear us, longing for his love, crying out and hoping that he might pass that note back underneath the door, that he might hear our prayer. And we even pray like that sometimes. Please, God, hear me. And that's not what Scripture teaches us. That's not what Jesus taught us about the Father. Jesus taught us that God is a loving Father, and he knows just what we need. And Scripture teaches you that you're chosen, that you're loved, and we become children of God through faith in Christ. And that when you're a child of God, Romans tells us right here, you did not receive a spirit that makes you a fearful slave. Do you know what slaves do? Slaves feel like they have no rights. Slaves feel like they aren't worth anything. Slaves feel like they can't overcome, that it doesn't matter what they think. It doesn't matter how they feel, that they'll never be free, that there's no hope. And Romans says, when you become a child of God, you receive God's spirit, and he adopts you, and you call him Abba. You call him Father. And there are so many people, I believe, who love God. They are Christ followers, but they live like slaves. They live like slaves. They live in fear. They live in bondage. They live like slaves because they fail to realize they're God's children. They live as slaves to addictions, to low self-esteem. They live as slaves to their past choices. They believe they can't be forgiven. They believe they aren't worth anything. And they hope that God might hear their cry. Scripture teaches us so differently than that. With God's Spirit, you've been adopted, and you cry out, you call him Abba because he's your loving Father. There was a film that I showed a clip from a couple weeks ago. It's from What is Family, a movie that focused on the family put out, Irreplaceable. It was at theaters for a short time a couple years ago. And if you remember, if you were here a couple weeks ago, there was a clip that I showed from a guy by the name of Kerry Casey. Who Kerry Casey. He works at a center for fathering, and he works with athletes and talks to them about the importance of being a dad. And I want to show you another clip here, because in this clip, he's in the Kansas City Chiefs Stadium, and he's talking about what these athletes, what they long for. I want you to listen to this.
There are guys that will come out of that tunnel there, that run on this field, and they have told me, they look up at 80,000 people, they would love for just one moment to look in the stands and to see their father. And just to be able to see their father look down at him and wave. Their bodies are strong, robust, a lot of money in the bank, handsome, famous. They want to see their dad in just one seat. It would change who they are.
Did you hear that? They want to see their dad, these athletes, in just one seat. And it would change who they are. I believe that if we would just begin to realize that our God, our Father, He is there cheering us on. And it's more than just cheering us on. He's not in just a seat. He is always present with us. He is there caring for us. He knows just what we need. He's there to protect, correct, direct us. He provides for us. He's an Abba. He is a loving Father. And if we would grasp that, it would change. It would change who we are. If we would just realize that God is a loving Father and that we are His children. That's who we are. In Galatians chapter 4, it says God sent Christ to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that He could adopt us as His very own children. He's purchased our freedom. And it says, and because we are His children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, prompting us to cry out, Abba, to call Him Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are His child, God has made you His heir. You see, if you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you need to write this down right here on your outline, this sentence, I am a child of God. I'm a child of God. In Scripture, over and over, it says that when you place your faith in Christ, you're adopted as God's children. You know, when it comes to orphans, one of the things that those who are orphans, one of the things they struggle with is they don't feel chosen. They don't feel accepted. In fact, they feel desperate. They don't feel like they have family. They don't feel like they have hope. They don't feel like they're heirs to anything. And when I talk to families who adopt, they will often say that one of the biggest challenges that they face sometimes, it's that the one who's been adopted, the challenge is for that one who's been adopted to receive love from the parents. The one who's adopted sometimes rejects the love of the parent. They continue to believe that they are an orphan. And we do the same thing once again with God. We don't live like sons of God. We don't live like daughters of God. We don't believe we're His children, that He cares for us deeply, and we act like we're orphans, hoping that God might give us something, might be there for us, might hear our prayer, might know just what we need. In Roman culture, when a child was adopted, they would lose all the rights to the old family, and they would gain all the rights of being a legitimate child in the new family. They would become a full heir to the father's estate. They get full rights. And so when you read this, that God, He bought freedom for us who were slaves so that He could adopt us as His own children. And it goes on, now you are no longer a slave. You are God's child. And since you are His child, God has made you His heir. He's made you His heir. That's who you are as a child of God. Talked about my parents a couple of weeks ago. I had, fortunately, I had good parents, not perfect by any means. But I remember as a student going off to college and going off to Mount Vernon Nazarene University. And as I got ready to head there, this is like some of the first pictures there as a college student. I think we had it was like Spirit Week there starting off, and the activities and like the mud event. I'm like right there. And my wife actually is one of the times where I first met her and stuff. She's there somewhere in the center. She's like, please don't point me out. And so and there I am, like around that time too. I'm sure my parents were proud of me, you know. And so, but as a college student, limited funds, right? Limited funds. I remember I'd come home, and my family, they would have my favorite meals ready for me. They'd be ready. My parents still do this, you know. You come home, they'd have my favorite desserts, the peanut butter pie, the chocolate pie. I could go in the fridge would be full. I could get whatever I wanted. I could get in the freezer and, you know, get ice cream anytime I wanted. It's a good thing. And so that was what would happen. And if we would go out to eat, my dad, he would pay the bill. So I got ready to go back to college. And even today, when I go home and get ready to come back here to Ohio, my dad would say, wait, I want to fill up your gas tank in your car. I'm going to do that. And if I needed clothes, if I needed shoes, my dad would say, you know what, I got it. I got this taken care of. I'm going to do this for you. And it was as if so many times my dad, it was as if he was saying, whatever I have, it's yours. Whatever you need, take it. It's all yours. That's how sons and daughters live. That's how a loving father feels towards his children. And when you become a child of God through faith in Christ, you become full heirs. And everything the Father has is yours. He gives you the best gifts. He gives you his Son. He gives you the Holy Spirit. He gives you forgiveness, eternal life. And he tells us to go to him and ask for whatever we need. He provides for us. And so Jesus, he told a story that some of us may know, some of us may have heard. It's a story about a lost son, a story about this prodigal son, a story that I think many times we listen to this story and we think is just about forgiveness, but it's actually a story, when Jesus told it, it was about so much more than forgiveness. It was about who the Father is to us, who we are to the Father as his children. And I want you to listen to part of this story again. It's from Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. It's a story again where the son has gone to the dad and he said, Dad, I want my inheritance. And he takes the inheritance and he goes out. And here's what it says. After the son had gone through all his money, there was a bad famine all through that country. And he began to hurt. And he signed on with the citizen there who assigned him to the fields to slop the pigs. He was so hungry, the son was, that he would have eaten the corn cobs and the pig slop. But no one would give him any. That brought him to his senses, and he said, all those farmhands, those workers, those slaves working for my father, they sit down to three meals a day, and here I am, I'm starving to death. And so I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back to my father, and I'm going to say to him, Father, I've sinned. I've sinned against you. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son. Take me on as your slave, as your hired hand. And so the son, he got right up, and he went home to his father. And when he was still a long way off, This is God, right? The God's the Father in the story. When the son was a long way off, his father saw him, his heart pounding, the father's heart pounding. The father runs and embraces him and kisses him. And the son started his speech. How many times do we do this? Father, I've sinned. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against you, God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son ever again. But the father, he wasn't listening. He was calling to his servants, quick, bring a clean set of clothes, dress him, put the family ring on his finger, the sandals on his feet. We're going to have a feast. My son, my child is alive. Do you hear the story? This is a story about the father, and it's so much more than a story about forgiveness. It's about the father's love towards you. That you're not a servant, you're not a slave, you're not an orphan, that if you have chosen Christ, if you placed your faith in Christ, you are God's child. That's why in 1 John, or in John chapter 1, it says, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. And they're reborn, birth that comes from God. You see, the power that comes from knowing who you are in Christ can change everything. It can give you a new beginning, because the enemy will come against you and he will try to get you to believe that you're nothing. He'll try to get you to believe that you have no value. He will try to get you to believe that you can't overcome whatever it is you're facing. He'll try to get you to believe that you have no hope. And we want to agree to it. We want to think that's who I am. But that's not what Scripture says. You're God's child. And if you turn the back of your outline there, there's some scriptures that I've placed there that I think are important, because those scriptures have been life transforming even for me, to be reminded of who I am in Christ. That in Christ we are children of God, John chapter 1. In Christ I have a loving Father, 1 John 3. I am loved and chosen by God, Ephesians 1, verse 4. I am adopted as God's child. I am forgiven from Romans 5. I am free from condemnation, Romans 8. I am made alive, Ephesians chapter 2. I am a new creation. I am an heir in Galatians. I am born of God, and the evil one cannot harm me, 1 John chapter 5. I am God's workmanship. I am his co-worker, from 2 Corinthians. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and love, from 2 Timothy. And I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Amen. That's who we are as God's children. That's who we are. Well, this picture I want to show next here. Some of you are like, I don't know if I care for him, maybe. It's Tim Tebow. Played for the Florida Gators. You might remember him back with Ohio State, those kinds of things. And, you know, at least Urban Meyer's with us now. And Tim Tebow, he did win 2 national championships, right? He won a Heisman, and but I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking, yeah, he might have got all those things, but, you know, and he even might have, like, been part of the comeback team for the Broncos, but he was cut from the team. And then some of you are thinking, not only was he cut from the Denver Broncos, he was cut from the New York Jets. Not only was he cut from the New York Jets, you're thinking, maybe, you know, he didn't even make the Patriots. I don't know why you'd want to make the Patriots anyhow, but some of you might be thinking that. He didn't even make the Patriots, and he didn't even make it for the Eagles. There's a picture there. This past month, I've been reading a book that he wrote. It's called Shaken, Discovering Your True Identity in the Midst of Life's Storms. And it's a story. The story, because I look at that and go, how do you deal with that? That rejection. How do you deal with that? And he talks about that. He processes it. And there's even a study with that on Right Now Media, if you have access to that. There's information in your bulletin about that. But it's his book, in it, as he processes it and talks about it, I want you to listen to what he says as he deals with this rejection and all the stuff that has surrounded him. He says, I am a child of God, that my foundation for who I am is grounded in my faith in a God who loves me, and a God who gives me purpose, and a God who sees the big picture, and a God who always has a great plan. Knowing I am the object of his love lays the groundwork for who I am. I am wanted. I am adopted into his family. I belong. And when I am clear-headed in my identity and not clouded by the judgment of others or even of my perceived abilities, I live at my best. If people like me, I will strive to know whose I am. If people don't like me, I will strive to know whose I am. If I play football, I will strive to know whose I am. If I never play again, I'll strive to know whose I am. Whether I'm praised or criticized, popular or outcast, rich or poor, I will always strive to remember I belong. I am loved. I am a child of God. Because when you know whose you are, it changes everything. It changes everything. Would you bow your heads with me? I can't help right now. Maybe you're here today and maybe you know you just need to receive the love of the Father. Maybe you need to put your faith in Christ. And right now, just in the quietness of this moment, you can just say, God, I want you. I choose you. You've chosen me, and now I choose to receive your love. I want to be your child. And so I put my faith in Jesus Christ. For some of us here, today God is challenging you. The Spirit's speaking to you about realizing who you are. That you're a child of God in the midst of things maybe you're struggling with, things that you feel like you can't overcome, situations where you feel like you have no hope. God is saying to you, I'm your provider. I love you. I know just what you need. Would you place your trust in me? Would you choose me to be your father and to live like a child of God? God, we thank you so much. Thank you so much for loving us. Thank you so much for choosing us even before you made this world. Help us, God, today. Help us to have new beginnings by knowing who you are and who we are. And help us to live that out, God, to be reminded of that on a daily basis, to choose you as our Father. Pray this in your name. Would you stand? We're going to sing a song in closing. And as we do, as we sing this, you know, if you want to come and pray, we invite you to do that. I'm going to be right up here if you'd like me to pray with you. I'd love to do that as well.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave. Child of God.
standing. This will be quick. If you could take your outline, though, if you have that. I don't know if they can put my sermon slides back up there, if they can hear that up there. I meant to tell them to do that. Are you able to? Yeah, perfect. Thanks. You know, today, if you receive Christ, you know, if you put your faith, or maybe we can just pray with you, I want you to know there's a prayer room in the back, and we would love to talk with you. We want to help you on that journey. But on the back of your outline, you may have thought that I missed a point, because it says that God is still shaping us as Father. And that's because He is. And I wanted to give you some resources to help you. And so remember the scripture that says we are the clay. He's the potter. He's still shaping us. And so what I did there, if you look, there's some the scriptures that I mentioned. I hope that you will use those. I need to use those even to be reminded of who I am as a child of God. And there's some resources. One's called Fathered by God, especially good for guys. There's Victory Over the Darkness. Victory Over the Darkness, Discovering your True Identity in Christ. Shaken, that's the one by Tim Tebow. There's a couple there. The Captivating is for girls. Wide at Heart for guys. And there's even a couple books that are listed there for parents as far as raising sons and raising daughters. And because we are still being shaped. And one of the ways that He shapes us really is by being in community with other people. And I just want you to be aware as you get ready to leave today that we're starting to refer to small groups as life groups, just a place where you can come and do life with some people, make some new friends, sometimes for a season, sometimes first for a study. But we're going to have an event here in just a couple of weeks called our group life event, where you can find out what a life is like in a group. And you can do that after the Saturday night service or our Sunday, the second service here coming up here in 2 weeks. And you can have lunch, and it's a great way to meet some people. Maybe try out a group, test drive a group for a little bit, and maybe it's just for a season. But we want you to invite you. The importance of just doing life with other people is so, so critical as God shapes us. You know, hopefully today you understand that together, we are God's children. And may that change who you are. Have a great day.